good people who have traveled from villages near and far. Lend me your ears.
Hello? Hello? Anybody home?
What's up, Miss Tasty? What's up, what's up?
Hi there, nice to see you. Bumblebee Tuna? Bumblebee Tuna!
Hello, West Mantooth. Hello, Evening News Team.
You are now listening to another edition of the Nothing But Real Reviews and More podcast.
Welcome to the Goody Room.
But their ability to open is f***ing heroic.
And now, with your permission, I'm going to do my stuff.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to do the best I can.
All right, welcome in, everybody. This is another edition of the Movie Review Crew. I'm your host, Mike Lucas, and joining me is Aaron Cronican.
Hello.
And Brent Frugier.
Hello.
Guys, we have an excellent episode. I first off, actually, I want to say I'm sorry for the audience, for our viewers, that this is, what, 3 weeks? 2 weeks in the coming?
Things, yeah, I mean, certain things out of our control.
Yeah.
Like the entire city of Omaha losing power for 2 days.
Two?
Well, most of us, it was two.
Yeah.
For you that live in... the middle of nowhere, right in the middle of the city.
Yeah.
It was okay. A week.
To backtrack. Last weekend, just over 8 days ago now, we lost power. This storm rolled in the middle of the night, 90 plus an hour mile winds. There was 75 plus, insanely fast. I think it was the fastest recorded ever in our area. They came in. And they tore down trees and they fell on power lines, and power lines in general just fell. And literally, I think it was like a third of the city. It was almost 200,000 people were without power for at least 24 hours. And then it slowly went down from there. And I was without power for 4 whole days. It was the worst. And we were supposed to record. That happened on a Friday night. We were supposed to record our podcast on Sunday. And I think everybody was like, yeah, I'm not going to be able to do it. I didn't even get to watch the movie because I was going to watch it that Saturday. So, but we are all good now. Today's episode, we're going to be reviewing Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery. Oh, man, that was a mouthful to start the show. Did you guys have any big tree branches or anything down?
No, not. I mean, luckily, we had just had a tree company come out not too long ago to...
Really?
Reshape it and trim it and get all the dead stuff out of there. So we got lucky.
Yeah, you guys just got really lucky. Brent, what about you?
I think there was like a little one that had fell down, but like I didn't even lose power, so I was real lucky.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Brent? Oh. I'm in good with the power company.
Yeah, I'm in that fancy area with underground power lines.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. That's not a thing. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I have a whole squad of hamsters in my basement on wheels powering my house. That's what
my
you sound like.
Work velocity power? Does that mean anything?
Wait, what? Your work velocity power?
Yeah. Does that mean anything?
Yeah, you took all the works hamsters and put them in your own basement. So,
yeah.
I think the Advanced Auto Parts out like off of L Street by my house is still without power. I'm not 100% sure. I think they're running off of generators, and I couldn't tell why. But when I went in the other day, they were like, "Yeah, we're doing cash only," and I was like, "Really?" So
yeah,
speaking
of generators, yeah, we had to borrow a generator to keep our, because we've got hundreds of pounds of meat in our deep freeze and our refrigerator in the garage.
Wait.
We had to borrow a generator.
What kind of meat?
Deer meat.
Mm, okay. I wasn't sure if you, okay, go ahead.
But anyway, yeah, so it's like for the nights that we didn't have power, I swear I woke up every hour making sure I heard that generator, making sure it was on. And I had to set a clock for the middle of the night to go put gas in the generator.
Dang.
But at least
the food was safe. One of my coworkers, he says at the beginning of every spring, he buys a cow and has it like slaughtered. Yeah, and so he has a whole deep freeze full of just like 200 pounds of beef. And I'm like, Jesus, dude, that is, he's like, yeah, but it's like half the price of like buying meat regularly. Like, all right, well, if that's all right, you do your thing, man. I just think that's a little excessive. Anyway, we're not talking about the rest of this on today's show. Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery. We have a review of that today. But first, have you guys seen anything new lately?
No, really, I haven't.
Okay.
I'm trying to think over the last few weeks if I've watched anything.
Well, what have you been doing? I mean, you went camping.
I went camping, you know, raising a child, little okay. things.
That's, you act like that's important. Brent, what about you?
You know, honestly, I know I watched something, but I don't remember what. That's how like bad and how much I didn't care about it was. And I cannot remember what I watched.
Well, it obviously wasn't worth your time.
That's what I was saying. Like, there was obviously something that bad where I don't remember really watching it.
Yeah.
TV shows, on HBO Max, like, I watched a few episodes of a TV show to see if it was any good, but it's an animated series, but it's not for kids. It's Harley Quinn animated series.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what it was. I was just like, I'll try to watch a couple episodes, see what it's all about. And I don't know, it's all right. I feel like they try right away to establish that it's not a children's show because, like,
well, yeah, people might be confused.
Language and stuff like that they use. And I mean, so I think they try a little too hard at the beginning, but I think maybe it kind of starts getting a little more natural as it goes on.
Okay.
With just like the language that they use and stuff like that. Because I feel like they wanted you to know right away it wasn't a kid's show. So, like, they just started throwing out profanities for no reason.
Right.
And
stuff yeah.
like that. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I totally get that.
Try to be funny by using words, but oh, it got better, I think, once it kind of let you know that it wasn't a kid's show.
For sure.
Interesting. It's a little more on the comedic side, but I guess they have like serious moments too.
Is this, so hold on, what's it, do you know what it's called? Is it called Harley Quinn?
It's called Harley Quinn. And I think it might be Harley Quinn and something. I don't know, but I know it's like Harley Quinn.
Okay, actually, I see it. It has a really good IMDb rating.
Yeah.
Interesting. And it stars Kaley Cuoco as Harley Quinn. Interesting. And Alan Tudyk.
Yeah, she does the voice, but I don't know, one of the best for me, I can't remember his name. Like Shark Man or something like that on there. He has a really distinct voice when you hear it. You know.
Phil Lamar?
No.
Oh, JB Smoove.
Well, he's in there too. JB Smoove
is credited as Frank the Plant.
Yeah.
Because it's Poison Ivy's plant.
Ron Funches. Okay.
Yes. Well, yeah, couldn't think of his name for some reason, but yeah, that's who I was talking about.
Oh my
gosh.
He's
actually pretty funny in that show.
Yeah, that's the guy from his voice. He's a crazy guy in the Trolls cartoon.
Yeah. Dude, this has a pretty good cast. So it's got Kaley Cuoco, Alan Tudyk, Tony Hale, which you know from Arrested Development, Jason Alexander, Christopher Maloney. And as we said, like Ron Funches and Diedrich Bader's in there and JB Smoove. Like this has
Diedrich Bader. He played Batman in an older animated Batman series.
He returned to play as Batman, huh?
Batman is not a huge part of this show. Like he's in there, you know, from episodes and he's there for a little bit, but it's pretty much strictly focused around Harley Quinn, Poison Ivy, and her crew.
I think I will literally never watch. Harley Quinn is one of the most annoying characters ever created. I just can't stand her.
Well, I think that's kind of what this show is. Like, she still is annoying, which I agree with you on that, but like, the show basically is, it starts with her and Joker, because you know Joker and
right.
her together, and then basically Joker tries to kill her, and you know, they break up or whatever, and she's trying to establish her own way, yeah. I guess, without the Joker.
Interesting. Is it voiced pretty good?
Yeah. I mean, sure.
Okay. I mean, sometimes I feel like there's some voice acting doesn't fit very well.
Yeah, I get you, but like it. Go ahead. If any of the acting or the voices don't necessarily fit, it's supposed to, I think, for like comedic versions, like sure. Bunches as the shark. Cause like it's this big, intimidating looking shark, and then you hear this voice. And
yeah,
like,
it's Ron Funches. Yeah. That's funny. Oh, and I mean, like some characters, like you recognize the voice, and then once you realize who it is, you can only picture them as like their most notable character. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I feel like that sometimes happens now after I've seen The Office with Michael Scott. Like, even though. What is his name? Good Lord.
Steve Carell.
Steve Carell. I was going to say Steve Allen. I knew that wasn't right.
Steve Allen.
I don't know who Steve Allen is.
Steve Carell's brother.
Yeah, obviously. So yeah, I sometimes even picture, like, even though Steve Carell does like serious roles, I still picture him as Michael Scott sometimes, which probably not for the better. Well, good. Would you recommend it to people?
If you like that universe, sure. Yeah, like the Batman type stuff. And like, I know Aaron loves Batman, but he just said he hates Harley Quinn, so it probably wouldn't be something he likes because she's right. The main focus.
Yeah. It looks like it's animated pretty interestingly. Like, stayed pretty sure, but same, it also...
Well, they...
Yeah.
I might be wrong on this, but I think... The guy who did the animating for it is the same guy that did Rick and Morty.
What I was going to say.
No, I'm wrong. That was a different show I watched. There was a Star Trek animated show that I watched that was animated by the guy who did Rick and Morty. So gotcha. Yeah, I confused those ones. So I'm wrong on that.
Gotcha. It is interesting, though. It is interesting. Okay, cool. Anything else you saw? You've seen? You saw some?
Not really.
I do remember something I did see. Speaking of dumb animated stuff, I watched on Disney Channel with Leland and Amber, we watched Raya and the Last Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
And I hated it.
Okay, good to know.
So there's that.
I don't know if I've even heard of that one.
Raya and the Last
Dragon. It just came out not too long ago. It just came out this year, and it was supposed to be this great thing, and it's really not funny and not fun and not, I just hated it, period. There wasn't much I did like. I mean, it looks fine, the animation, the CGI, whatever, but gosh, it was not. I'll never see it again, ever. If Leland asks to watch it, I will not watch it.
So you'll say, oh, no, they
oh, shoot, it's not available anymore. Yep. We got to pick something else.
It's gone, buddy.
No, I see it right there, Dad.
No, that's not it. Oh, that's funny. That's funny. I saw Bo Burnham's special Inside.
Did you? Do you like it?
It's interesting.
Yeah.
It felt... I don't know. I liked it. I would recommend people see it. I do think it was overhyped for me a little bit. I think everybody kind of said like, oh, it's the most amazing masterpiece ever. Like it rivals. Like, okay. You remember Tiger King last year?
Yeah.
Where everybody was like, you got to see it. You got to see it. It's so fantastic. And then like I saw Tiger King and I was like, oh my God, this is kind of fascinating. Like this whole world. I did not get that with Inside. Like it's good. There are a lot of very interesting songs and it's very funny. But it, I don't know. I guess the fact that it's a one man production is pretty fascinating as well. Will I remember 90% of it? No. Will I remember the best of the songs and the jokes in this? Yes. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But I mean, if you, well, do you
I
guys,
mean, I, yeah.
I was just gonna say, do you guys like Bo Burnham?
Well, I saw that one. I think it was probably about a few weeks ago. Probably last time I was on the podcast, I talked about it a little bit.
Oh, okay.
And I kind of said that, I liked it, but like it was different, weird, you know? So yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, I like Bo Burnham. Like, especially when they did a lot more like stand-up stuff on Comedy Central when I had cable when I was, I don't know, this would have been a while back.
Sure.
You know, they would have these like comedians who were obviously known enough to get like a half hour special, but still nobody really knew them. It just like, this was kind of their big break. I remember Bo Bynum was one of the first, like he was on there, and like that was the first time I saw him, and I was like, yeah, I kind of like this guy, and I kind of started following him after that.
Yeah, so like I said, it's interesting, especially since it's like a one-man thing, one-man production, and it's all done within the confines of his house. But I kind of feel like his other specials where he's actually on stage and he's got jokes and he's like reading his poetry and stuff, I think I like those better.
Yeah. Well, I think he's, even though he doesn't really say anything to him, just like his facial features and stuff like that, when he interacts with the crowd, like he'll do a joke and they'll like respond and he'll kind of like give him a look like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I think that helps his comedy a lot. He couldn't really do that in that
setting,
obviously.
For sure. But like, to be fair, sometimes it's very hard to judge laugh points in an edit of like, okay, I know the audience is going to laugh this long, so I know the next joke can start here. Like, yeah, like the timing and pacing, whereas in like a live thing, you can wait for the laughs to die a little bit and then you start up with your next joke. You don't get that with video. I mean, obviously, because it's pre-recorded, but it worked pretty well. There is this one part, though, where he's singing the song about Welcome to the Internet. Best song on the entire thing, in my opinion. It's fantastic. But he's laughing in the middle of it, and it's like this hysterical, almost like this villainous laugh. I would love to see him in a serious role, being like some villain. Oh, I got goosebumps when I saw that.
Has he done anything other than, I'm trying to think, I mean, I recognize the face, I know the name Bo Burnham, I don't know if I've ever seen anything, I don't know if I even like him.
He has done strictly mostly stand-up, but he took a break for a long time because he was having like anxiety problems, but he wrote that movie.
He wrote and directed Eighth Grade.
Yeah,
it's not great. Like,
yeah,
It's fine. It's more of a serious movie, and I think it was cool. But outside of that, I don't think it's anything I would watch again. I think he's insanely talented, though.
His stand-up is like, he does, like, he'll make jokes, but a lot of his jokes is he starts singing a song and the jokes are within the song and stuff like that. So he sings a lot. So, I mean, if that's not really your style, you won't like him.
No, thanks.
Yeah. Well, also, he like messes with the medium a little bit from time to time. So like, he has this in one of his earlier stand-up specials, he starts and he's like, hey, I have a really funny joke about video editors. And then he starts the joke and then the recording just cuts. And then it's like the start of his next joke. And obviously it's just, you know, like that's intended the whole time. But that cracks me up. Cause it's like, you can't do that live, but you can do that recording even though it's being recorded live. It's just, it's fascinating. No?
Yeah. No.
No. Well, no, I know Aaron says, yeah, no thanks, but I'm not saying Aaron would necessarily like him, but I think if Aaron did listen to a few of the songs he does, because I think this guy kind of thinks like Aaron in some stuff.
No, if he thought like me, he wouldn't do it in a song.
Some aspects. Like, he's very intelligent. But yeah.
His songs, like, basically, he's talking, a lot of his songs are talking about how stupid people are, and I know you hate people.
Yep.
So it's just,
I hate stupidity. The there's a difference. Come on.
Well, he hates most people stupid people too, and it's in his songs.
Yeah, I probably won't be seeking that out anytime soon.
Okay. Well, you're lost. You're lost. Did I talk about the end of Mad Men? Have I talked about that on our podcast?
No. I assume, I'll fill it in. You're thankful it's over. No more vanilla acting. Yada, yada, yada.
No. It's good. It's fine. It's not my favorite TV show that we've watched ever, but it's definitely not the worst. If you like a family TV drama with some solid acting, not vanilla whatsoever. I think you would like it, but
Mad Men is a family show.
Well, maybe not a family show. I meant like a drama around
his family's image.
Family, yes. Like his family revolves, like is basically the plot line the whole time. And I'll have you know.
Yeah, go ahead, proceed.
Mr. Ham.
Yes.
Won an Emmy for this and nominated.
Amazing.
I think it's every like 5 time.
5 billion Emmy nominations a year.
So?
So,
yeah, blah. That's not winners.
John Hamm. Ugh.
You're pathetic.
I just don't get it. I mean, he did this video. I can't even remember what I was watching. I got down the YouTube rabbit hole, and there was some video of John Hamm doing a commentary, and even the commentary of his own stuff put me to sleep. Oh my word!
Nominated Anyways. For 7 straight Emmys and won one.
All for that show?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess I haven't seen the show.
Well,
but
it was also nominated in an episode of 30 Rock. 2 episodes of 30 Rock. 3, actually. Anyway, not the point. All right, let's. Are we moving on? Are we into Austin Powers at this point?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, perfect. Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery from 1997. PG-13, 1 hour and 29 minutes long, a world-class playboy and part-time secret agent from the 1960s emerges after 30 years in a cryogenic state to battle his nemesis, Dr. Evil. Directed by Jay Roach, written by Mike Myers, starring Mike Myers, Elizabeth Hurley, Michael York, Robert Wagner, Seth Green, Mindy Sterling. Will Ferrell makes an appearance. Am I missing Fabiana Udenio? I mean,
woman, Dr. Evil's sidekick. So, I mean, she's kind of a bigger part of the movie.
Yeah. So Austin Powers on Rotten Tomatoes gets a 73%. From critics, giving it a score of 6.5 out of 10. Audience score of 77%, giving it a 3.9 out of 5. The critics' consensus, a light and goofy comedy, which provides laughs largely due to performances and screenwriting by Mike Myers. Was Austin Powers an SNL character?
No, but he... So Mike Myers has been, he did SNL and then other movies for like a long time. I think he kind of mixed a couple together to make Austin Powers.
Gotcha.
And then other characters within that universe. Like, I know he's not until the second one, or the third one. It's the second one where Fat Bastard comes in. Like, he kind of based that off a character he had played in an earlier movie and stuff like that.
Interesting, yeah. Interesting. You guys have all seen this before, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. I have seen this one, but God, it's been a long time. And I'll be honest, I think this one's not that great.
It's not. The second one
is so much,
much better.
Yes.
Much, much better.
That's, yeah, because I remember like Laura had never seen it. And I was like, oh, I think you'll like it. And then we start watching it. And I'm like, God, this kind of sucks.
Yeah, I felt. And when you asked if it was an SNL skit, I don't know. I've never really been into SNL. But when I was watching it this time around, I thought the same thing. It kind of feels like
SNL-y.
Those SNL type of movies where they have a good idea that's good for a skit. But it doesn't quite work when you stretch it to an hour and a half. But
well.
But then it works for the second one. So I don't know why that is, that this first one, I don't know.
Well, it could be, I mean, I don't know. Like, I think I tend to agree. I think the second one is better. But I also have seen this movie a million times. And then knowing that the second one exists and that I think it's better, it kind of makes the first one look even worse.
Yeah, I think that also hurts. But this one almost felt like an SNL thing because there are the... It's like a scene and then the cut scene of like Mike Myers dancing. Like it feels almost like sketch comedy where you see like this funny little tidbit. It pushes the story along a little bit and then this cut scene and then back to a funny little tidbit. You know what I mean?
Well, they do that in the second and well, they do that in all of them. These kind of dance scene transition things. But in the second, I feel like it just works more smoothly. In this one, it's just an abrupt cut to a scene that has nothing to do with what you were watching before. And then there's certain situations they just never touch on again after they cut. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And to me, to be honest, a lot of the jokes in this, there were a few times I chuckled, but a lot of the jokes just didn't hit for me in this one.
Yeah. Agreed. It felt dated. It felt very dated, I think.
Well, I mean,
It is.
It's one of those movies that I think was supposed to be like, oh, this is the 90s. And so, I mean, obviously, you know, 20, 30 years later, it's going to seem dated.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what else to say about this. What did you think about Mike Myers' performance?
I thought it was fine. Without him, I probably would have hated this movie. I mean, obviously, he plays the lead, you're both the good and the bad guy. You're playing almost 90% of the scenes. But what I'm saying is if it were someone else trying to do that, even someone capable, I think it's better off that it was Mike Myers.
Right. I agree. What other actors have done stuff like this? Obviously.
Eddie Murphy, obviously.
Right. Would you...
The Wayans brothers try, but not successfully.
I mean,
that's...
You say it's not successfully.
It's a matter of opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Stop it. What was that last one they just did for Netflix?
Who cares?
Well, you're talking about people that... You can say that about anybody now that was in their primes in the 80s or 90s and now is trying to do stuff. Eddie Murphy,
I'm saying specifically playing multiple characters in one movie. Not a lot of people try it. Second, it just doesn't work for those that do. I mean, yeah, you had Eddie Murphy, but then he milked that till it got terrible. He tried that in Norbit and it was awful.
So you remember Norbit? That is like the worst movie I have ever seen.
I'm trying to think who else might have done something like that.
I'm gonna Google it right now. But okay, so would you rather? Do you think Eddie Murphy could have pulled off this role?
Probably. I mean, as a British spy, maybe not. I don't
know. Well, okay,
yeah, you would have to change how the movie is.
But yes, I think Eddie Murphy has the same. I like these guys. I mean, I don't, you know, throw Jim Carrey in there. He does it even more than these guys. But the guys that bring that energy to where even if maybe it shouldn't work, it does because of how fully invested they are.
Oh, Adam Sandler plays different characters in the movie. I mean, it was awful. But...
Don't even.
I said it was awful, but he did it.
No, he played two different versions of Adam Sandler in the movie.
Monty Python.
Yeah. Well, those are like, well, yeah, I guess.
It's kind of the same thing.
Even if you go back way back in the day, like Charlie Chaplin did stuff like that a few times. So, I mean, you have to go way, way back for that. But
yeah,
it's also when they probably could only afford like four actors for a movie. So they had to play multiple parts.
Fair. There's a lot of these, like, they do a part and then they do a character. I didn't realize Ryan Reynolds did the voice or the character Deadpool and then the voice of the Juggernaut in the latest movie.
No, he was the Juggernaut?
I did not realize that either.
Well, he was in the movie called Voices where he doesn't play multiple characters. He plays his guy and then the voice of... So in the movie Voices, his dog and cat talk.
Yeah, yeah.
And he plays the voices of the dog and the cat.
Ralph Fiennes as three different characters in the movie Sunshine. He looks just like three different versions of Ralph Fiennes.
Well, you know who could do it?
Sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. You sound really excited.
Tom Hanks in 2 or 5 different roles in Cloud Atlas?
Yeah, I mean, but that's different. That's 100% not comedic.
Uh-huh.
And
these faces that he's got on right now definitely look comedic. The whole concept is of
one soul passing through generations. So it's kind of like an iteration of the same character. I don't know. It just doesn't, it's not comparable, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. James McAvoy? Split?
Shoot. That's a little different too. But,
That's so different. So of all of the characters on this list, I think the only one to fill this role would be Mike Myers.
Well, but even what I'm saying, even if you took other... I mean, because a lot of comedians that do sketch comedy type of things, like on SNL, or they play all these different characters, not within the same story, but
right.
I just have a hard time imagining somebody else doing it well.
Agreed. Especially with, like, the spunk that he put into this role.
Well, that's what I was going to... Yeah. Look at him, and then if you even go into the second one with Fat Bastard, like, although obviously they kind of look alike because it's the same person, Austin Powers and Dr. Evil are so far apart that if they maybe didn't look a little bit like each other because, you know that it's Mike Myers, you might think that those are two different people.
Honestly, I've seen this movie multiple times. I forget sometimes in some scenes that he is both characters, especially when they do the trick photography to do both of them in the same shot.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, like, you can tell, and especially in this one, because I'm assuming maybe they didn't have as much money for this one. They didn't know that it was going to be a hit. And then in the second one, like, oh, the first one was a hit. We'll give them a little more leeway. Yeah. But there's scenes where, like, when Dr. Evil is talking to the United Nations or whatever, and he's in front of the screen, and he's in front, and Austin Powers is in the background, but it's clearly they're blocking his face, so you can't see his face, so just clearly some other guy in Austin Powers suit.
That's super funny. You're right, though. I didn't realize that this movie was as big of a hit as it was. It had $17 million budget, and it grossed almost $70 million worldwide.
Yeah, it was...
That's kind of crazy. And I think we've talked about this before. I don't remember what episodes, but the writers and directors and the studios that do James Bond have basically said, like, because Austin Powers came out and had the success that it did, they had to change James Bond from being these, like, quirky type films to being these very macho and serious dark drama films almost. Did every spoof in the book.
Part of the comedy is that it's so ridiculous.
Oh my God.
This is what spy movies were like.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to see, like, Austin Powers versus, like, the 70s, like Sean Connery, James Bond. I've never seen him.
I have seen maybe one. Dr. No, I think, is the only one I've seen with Connery. Is that even the one? I think that's the one. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
The point is, I'd rather watch Austin Powers than James Bond.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. How are the other characters in this film? Like Elizabeth Hurley, I thought she was fantastic. She is a fox.
Yeah, she's a human, but yeah, she was good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that's what he says to her. Right when she meets him, maybe not.
I don't know. I thought he called her a fox monologue.
Yeah.
Yeah, monologue.
Did I say that? Realizes that's not there anymore.
Yeah.
See, and that's what this. Oh, that's what's. Like, I know you guys don't look back at this one probably as greatly as I do, but like it's just little scenes like that I really enjoy I think that are funny. Like the whole. I'm about to say this on our stream, but the scene with the penis pump when he's like, "That's not mine."
That part got me.
No, That okay, the only danger time that power. That got me, it was the very end
when they came back to it. I'm telling you, it's not mine.
No, well, when he's getting choked by random task, yeah, that was the part that got me. Throughout the other parts of the movie, I was like, oh my god, we get it, this joke is being overplayed. But then to see it come back like a third or fourth time at the very end, I was like, oh my god, okay, that's pretty funny.
I feel like there's other stuff. And like I said,
I get it. There are scenes and there are little tidbits, but I feel like maybe, I don't know, something. It just feels like it set the foundation to do what they actually wanted to do in the second movie, which was a lot more fun. It was definitely more comedic, and they went a little more over the top with some silly stuff. But
yeah, I will say, like, going back to the tropes in these spy movies, Seth Green did such a good job of delivering his line when he's, so Dr. Yule's about to put him in like the pit with the sea bass or whatever, the rabid sea bass, and he's like, no, we could just shoot him, it could be like a good father son activity, I have a gun literally in my bedroom.
And he's like, no, I'm gonna shut the door,
yeah,
let him assume that they die. This easily escapable situation.
Yeah, it's so funny. They see that's the part of this movie that I think really shined for me, at least, was the tongue-in-cheek humor.
Yeah,
because some of this.
The bit when his number two is explaining how he built their company with the table with all the models?
Yeah,
and you're talking about the factory that builds miniature models of factories.
And then it cuts to the doctor. He's like, obviously, or of course, or whatever. Yeah,
yeah. So I mean, there were bits, but I think, I don't know, I think maybe just the additional characters in the second one and more of an idea of the character helped in the second too.
Yeah, I think so too. We should do a second movie review down the road, you know?
We should.
Yeah.
I mean, because I'm not saying I don't. Maybe I am saying I don't like this one, because now after rewatching it again, it's like, I don't know if I ever have the need to watch Austin Powers. It's not going to be this movie.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think I've ever seen Goldmember, though.
I think I saw it right when it came out, and I remember I didn't like it, and I've never seen it since.
Like, yeah. I'm a fan of all the Austin Powers movies. I always have been, but Goldmember is the worst of the bunch.
Is it?
Yeah, it's like they tried to do things that they did in the first two, and it just wasn't working. Like, maybe it was played out, or I don't know. It just wasn't working. And then, I don't know, like, nothing against Beyonce, but I don't think there was that chemistry with her in that one that he had with, you know, Elizabeth Hurley in the first one and Heather Graham in the second one. I just don't think there was as much chemistry in the third one. So it just, there was something that just, things that didn't work as well, I think, as they did in the first two.
Yeah. Also, I didn't realize, I knew that they had to be spoofing Dr. Evil as somebody, but I just looked up Donald Pleasance in the Sean Connery film, You Only Live Twice.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It is like, yes, it is a spitting image. That's what I love. It's the same getup. It's the same scar. It's fantastic. So yeah, if you guys want to see that, look up Donald Pleasance from the James Bond film, You Only Live Twice.
Well, and they do that a lot. I mean, even with, I can't remember what's his Random Task instead of Odd Job.
Yeah, it's Random Task. Yeah.
I mean, that's funny. I that one got me a little bit where. And he literally just showed up once at the end to throw a shoe, and the rest of the time he's just popped up to do random tasks, and that was it.
Yeah. I think kind of what I'm hearing is like this first film and maybe even Goldmember better in theory than in practice.
Yeah.
Like I said, I still enjoyed the first one. I do agree that the second one is the best of the bunch, but I still do enjoy the first one. And I think the first one is a lot better than the third one.
Yeah. I haven't seen the third one. It's funny though, the second one actually gets a lower score on Rotten Tomatoes.
I'm looking at IMDb, it's the same there too.
Crazy.
I think, well, because isn't most of that like, I don't know. So most movies that have a sequel or a trilogy, I think most people kind of look back at the first one more fondly than the rest of them, and they think that it's better just because it was the first one. You know what
sure.
I mean?
And I wonder why films typically have a hard time with the third one. You know what I mean?
Like, I think it's just a matter of, first of all, running out of things to do to keep it fresh. And then it's just that franchise fatigue. I think I get that a lot more quickly than other people. I mean, look at the Marvel stuff or the Star Wars stuff, where it's like, you know, we're seeing the same thing over and over and over. At some point, whether it's comedy, whether it's drama or action, like it just kind of loses its effect unless you keep things fresh, which I think is harder to do than people guess. Because what do you do with this character that's new? Even if they try to do, I see on Mike Myers' upcoming films, or I don't know if it's even begun, it just says announced, but Austin Powers 4, like where do you take this character?
Well, so they were talking about doing an Austin Powers 4 a really long time ago, but like it got stopped, and the way the third one ended made it set up well. I don't, Mike, do you ever plan on watching the third one?
No, I'm not too worried about it.
So I guess spoiler alert for anybody who hasn't seen the third one really ended with where it seemed like Seth Green was going to be the bad guy for the fourth one, like the he was going to be taking Dr. Evil's spot. So that could have changed things up, and it could have, I don't want to say make it darker, because how his character was by the end of the third one is he was kind of a dark guy, but like it could have changed that a little bit, but I don't know anymore. Cause that was also, when did the third one come out? Like 15 years ago? Was it that long ago? I don't know.
Almost 20 years ago, 2002 was Goldmember.
So yeah, I don't, who even knows if Seth Green and who's going to be in the fourth one, if they even make the fourth one. Wait, it could be something completely different.
Oh my god, I didn't realize Goldmember was only 2002.
Only?
I thought it was like 05, 07, something like that. Like I thought it came late years later, but I guess not.
Yeah, I don't know. I think... I don't even know if I would. You guys be interested when they release number four?
Go ahead.
I said, I guess I would be, but my expectations wouldn't be high, especially with like this big of a gap. Because like, look at like Dumb and Dumber, and then the second Dumb and Dumber they made with Jim Carrey.
That's kind of what I'm thinking, specifically for the comedy genre. It's like if you have a hit. It's hard to recreate that. I mean, you mentioned Dumb and Dumber, something like Anchorman, or
that's what I was thinking.
I mean, look at all these that they keep revisiting, and it's like I don't know. You already had your movie. You what else do you do with it? And then it's just not as funny.
Yeah. Well, and especially with comedies, at this point, it's hard because there's a lot of nostalgia going around.
Yep.
Where people want these, but they can't do the humor that they did back then because they can get in a lot of trouble for it. So it's really hard to make one of those type of movies now because yeah. Everybody wants the nostalgia part of it, being like, oh, I love that, you know, and this is going to be the same, but they can't use that same type of humor really much anymore and expect to be a hit.
Yeah. Will Ferrell was basically in like brown face for this.
As Mustafa?
Yeah. Which I was like, that wouldn't fly today. I'm surprised it flies now.
I don't think it was that bad. I thought he just, didn't he just have like a beard and eyeshadow on?
No, I'm pretty sure he had like darker skin.
I don't know.
I think it might have just been like a layer of makeup, like a foundation or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyways, any other notable sequences or maybe it's just things to remember of this movie? I mean, I'm struggling with it because I remembered liking it, and maybe that was just because of how much I liked the second one. But then I watched it this time around, and this was just a few days ago, and it was, you know, one or two chuckles here, but the rest of it was just kind of, I don't know, it just didn't hit. A lot of the physical comedy part of it, the things where they kept, the actors were nude, but they kept putting objects in front of them in camera to hide. Like, none of that worked for me. None of it was funny.
I thought that was clever.
It's clever, yeah, yes, but not funny.
It's, I don't know. It's also, I guess, a certain type of humor. I know you said you liked the second one, but I don't know. Like,
they do the same type of humor, like camera play, where they're outside of the tent with the shadow stuff. I think it works a lot better in the second one. This one just didn't seem that funny to me.
I don't know. Like I said, I still enjoyed it. And like, I enjoyed basically the parody of the spy movies and stuff like that. Cause like towards the beginning of the movie, I think it's right at the beginning when they're at the club. And so
that waitress comes up to him asking,
yeah, and he punches her and like, oh, what are you doing? And it goes back and now it's clearly a man.
It cuts and it's absolutely just a dude in a wig.
Funny is I laughed out loud. I forgot about that part.
Yeah.
I laughed out loud.
I mean, that was clever and that worked. But
yeah,
overall, I don't know that I'm going to be very gentle on this one because I really just, I don't even think I'd recommend it. I might tell people to skip it and watch the second one.
Is there anything that you would need to see from the first? Okay, actually, this one does have the best scene out of all of them when the cart gets stuck sideways in the hallway.
Okay, or the
first and do it
when they're trying to get that the henchman guy to get out of the way.
Oh,
in
yeah.
the steamroller.
And he's 50 feet away.
Yeah.
But is there anything that you would need to see from this first one to see? To understand the second one? I don't think so, right?
I guess not necessarily, but like I guess the first one has a little bit more backstory for him. Like, I'm not saying that there's a lot of backstory, there's not, but like, because in the first one he's in the 60s and then gets frozen and goes to the 90s, and then in the second one it's vice versa, he's living in the 90s and they go back in time to the 60s. So I guess like you're like, oh, what's all this time travel stuff? Like, I guess it would make sense if you saw the first one because, hey, he was originally from the 60s. And then I guess the opening scene of the second one is him on his honeymoon with Elizabeth Hurley, but she turns out to be a fembot. So, I mean, you might be like, why the hell was he with a robot? But if you didn't see the first one, but yeah, I guess that's really about it.
Yeah.
And I guess character thing, like why he and Dr. Evil hate each other. Like, you don't really need to know that, but like, I guess they explain a little bit more in the first that they were just arch enemies. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either. I think you're right. You can probably skip the first one and see the second one because like none of that stuff matters.
I don't know. I still think that it's just nice to see both of them before you see or see the first one before you see the second one, but you don't necessarily have to.
Yeah, maybe I would recommend seeing it just to see it and know it, but I mean, they're short enough. Maybe somebody would like it enough, but I think I might say, yeah, watch the first one, definitely watch the second, and completely skip the third. So.
Okay. Are we ready to rate it?
I think so.
I just remembered something. This has more to do with the second one. I think it was the second one. It's either the second or third one. I'm pretty sure it was the second one. But when they were having previews for it, or no. Damn it. I'm trying to remember how this was going. Oh, when they were doing previews for this Star Wars Episode 1, because that was like, I think in 1999, I think that's when this one came, or the second one came out, is that people like bought tickets to the second one just to see the preview for Star Wars, because that was like the only movie showing the preview for Star Wars.
Sure, they were disappointed.
Well, after they saw the movie, yeah. But yeah, I just thought that was kind of a like interesting fact.
Because nowadays people are just, that would literally never happen because you have access to,
yeah,
right in your hands, access to any trailer you want to see.
I might be wrong. I know there was some sort of connection. Maybe, you know what? I think people waiting for that preview, because they might have came out around the same time, so that wouldn't be right. But I remember, because I remember seeing a movie and that the Star Wars preview was there, and then something with Austin Powers, maybe Austin Powers preview was there too, but they like tried to trick. That's right. At the beginning of the previews, there was, it looked like it was going to be a Star Wars preview, but it ended up turning into an Austin Powers preview. So they tricked you. That's what it was. Sorry, I'm thinking out loud as it's.
Yeah, you're good. No, you're good. A polished podcast has never been our forte, right, so right, I'm really not upset about it.
I was all over the place there, but that's what it was. Is I don't remember what movie I went to, but there was, they advertised that they were going to have the Star Wars preview, and Austin Powers totally swerved you, because at the beginning it was like the Death Star and all this stuff, and it goes in and it's Dr. Evil, and he's like, ooh, expecting somebody else. So that's what it was now. So I just wasted 10 minutes talking about nothing.
No,
so
you're good. You're good. Let's rate it. How about that?
Sure.
Brent, do you want to go first or last?
It doesn't matter. I'll go first because you guys are gonna.
I don't think I'm gonna rate it that bad. Maybe I'll go. I don't know.
Well, like I said, I still enjoyed this movie. Probably, I mean, I know it more than you guys, and I do agree that the second one's probably better. But I'm still gonna give it. We'll give it 6.75.
What 6.75? What?
Penis pumps.
Penis pumps. There you go. Yep.
Perfect.
Pumps of the penis pump.
Oh, okay.
Perfect. There you go. Yep. Love it. Aaron, what about you?
I don't know. I mean, it's fine enough. 5.5.
Yeah, that's right where I'm at. That's right where I'm at as well. It's just an okay movie. I don't know.
Yeah, it really was almost disappointingly mediocre because I thought it was better when I like heading into it before I watched it, but it just didn't do it for me.
Yeah, I can kind of get that. So final score is 5.92. Oh God. This or Kung Fu Killers. Do you guys remember that one?
I don't even remember that one.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll do Austin Powers for that. This or Crawl?
I had no desire to see that movie. I kept hearing how dumb it is.
It's so dumb, but it has a higher score. This or Bright?
This.
Probably Bright?
I'd say this. This or... God, Hitchhiker's Guide.
Probably would say this, because Hitchhiker, I think I feel like Hitchhiker is how you guys feel about this movie.
What do you mean?
Like, you remember it being good, and then you go and watch, and like, I don't think this is really that good.
Yeah, we did that on the podcast. We thought we were in for a good one, but we all...
Yeah, I mean, but to be fair, Hitchhiker's Guide was the 7th movie we ever did on the podcast. The Strangers?
Oh,
this.
God,
this. Yeah. Walk Hard, Dewey Cox.
Probably that.
This. I do like that one, but this.
I'd say this. That movie dragged for me. It's too stupid at points. Okay, so 5.92 for Austin Powers, The International Man of Mystery. Join us online, guys, at moviereviewcrew.com. Who has the next pick?
I do.
You do. Do you have a pick?
I do. I think what I'll do is send a vote in the chat.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys have to pick a decade.
Oh.
40s, 50s, 60s, or 70s. And then I'll pick my movie based on
40s?
Yeah, I have two that I've been
eyeing from the 40s. Interesting. Interesting. Well, we will I'll be excited to see what you pick. But until then, guys, join us online, moviereviewcrew.com. It's 5.92 for Austin Powers. Anything else, guys?
Nope. Tell your friends to watch the second one.
Wait, I didn't even say someone in the show.
Oh.
Yeah, he didn't. Wow. A little premature there.
Oh, boy, this movie was disappointing.
Sorry, all right, someone in the show.
Tell your friends.
Let's go. But inconspicuously. Through the window.
Lady, I'm afraid I'm going to have to ask you to leave the store.
Okay, that's it. Screw you guys. I'm going home.
Game over, man. Game over. What are we going to do now? What are we going to do?
Good night. And good luck.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Nothing But Real Reviews and More. Remember to like us on Twitter and Facebook, and subscribe and rate on iTunes.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.